This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins us live in studio on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development and pie. And the quest for pie continues. You got folks, I got people emailing me saying, talking about pie. Everybody wants to talk about pie. You've hit a nerve. Well, you've hit a pie nerve, Brian.
I was afraid that if I brought pie today, I'd be pushing it too much.
No, not at all. No pushing. Because, pie is good.
Well, we're on a quest, and we may have to change Charlottesville Tomorrow's mission statement. Because
I don't think your board's going to like that
very
much.
We focus on land use, transportation, community design, and you can visit us at cvilletomorrow.org and check out all that. But, you know, food is something that brings the community together.
Yeah, and you're hearing more and more about the local food movement and people buying local. And
it's one element of our sense of place, you know, our quality of life.
Yeah.
You think about what's special about that town, and people often think of different food items.
Right, right.
So, like, if there was a time capsule for Charlottesville, and you could put two or three things in it that were food.
A food time capsule.
It would be perfectly preserved so that future generations, they'd open it up, and it'd be just like they were buying it that day.
That's a great question. What would we put in the food time capsule?
I mean, I would have to have a spud nut blueberry donut.
I've never had one. Is it good?
Yes. Definitely in the time capsule.
Yeah.
Bodo's bagels.
You got to put some Bodo's bagels in there. Yeah. Yeah.
What else comes to your mind?
I like Domino's. But I get the point. That's not really on the list.
Think local, Coy.
I am such a... When it comes to food, man, I'm so easy to please. Throw some carbs on a plate.
How about, you know, think about the corner. What food elements come from the corner that you would... Mr. Historian?
You know, the Virginian used to make a killer chocolate pecan pie.
Oh, okay.
That's classic. And I think it actually dates back to... it's a Marianne Parr recipe. It dates back to the 70s.
Sure. I was thinking of the Grills With from the U Diner.
From the University Diner, the Grills With. And if it was still around, I've heard that the spoon bread at the University Cafeteria was to die for, as they say. And the fried chicken from University Cafeteria, that's all gone now. But
Gus Burger?
The Gus Burger, I don't know if I could put that in there. If you want to scare people when they open the time capsule.
But anyway, in this quest, it's gotten me thinking a lot about the best foods. And as I've said on the show in the past, my colleague from the office, Sean Tubbs, he and I are going to circumnavigate Albemarle County, city of Charlottesville, in the quest for pie. And to help, you know, raise the bar and get everyone understanding what we're talking about. And granted, there's a piece of pie sitting in front of me. And
I'm about to eat it.
The listeners will not be able to taste it, but hopefully we can describe it. But I was in Danville over the weekend, and as we came home...
Four-wheeling? Were you four-wheeling?
I was four-wheeling out of the farm. Lots of fun four-wheeling in the tractor and the little, you know, all-terrain vehicles.
You know, that's got to be one of the funnest things ever. Four-wheeling across a field. It's fun.
It was.
Come on.
Well,
that's fun.
Now, my in-laws don't know that I was cutting through the wheat fields. And so when they find those tracks later this week, they may be a little upset about
Brian.
That. But we were having fun hauling through the wheat. But anyway, as we were in Danville, one of the things that would be in the Danville food time capsule would be two things from Midtown Market. The Midtown Market is this little grocery store tucked away off of Main Street that you'd never find unless you were a local. But at Midtown, you always get Mr. Grant's chicken salad.
Uh-huh. And I love chicken salad.
And they make 1,500 to 1,800 pounds of this stuff a week. And this is the best chicken salad I've ever had.
Goodness gracious.
So we were eating that.
Better than Bel Air Market? They make a mean chicken
salad. It's the best chicken salad I've ever had.
Really? Is it real chunky or like fine?
No, it's very finely shredded.
Ah. It's not too mayonnaise-y.
No.
Because I don't like it too mayonnaise-y.
It's just right.
Wow. Hold on just a minute. We're going to go to the phones. Rick's on the phone. Rick Britton, you're the man.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Hey, listen, you know, when you talk about pie, I mean, I can understand everybody calling in. You just make everybody's mouth water. But there's this, you know, you love to run those little clips from movies, and there's a great scene from Pulp Fiction where Bruce Willis's girlfriend, and I think she's Italian, is talking about what she's going to have for breakfast, and it's this long list of stuff, and it's amazing because she's this little woman.
Yeah.
And then she goes, and then I'm going to have a piece of apple pie with melted cheese on top. And he goes, pie? And she goes, any time is a good time for pie.
I got to get that.
And that's what I think about every time I hear you guys talking about pie.
All right, I'm going to get that.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks, Rick.
Bye-bye.
There you go. And that's a great movie, too. I know the exact scene he's talking about.
And so anyway, at Midtown, we got the chicken salad, of course, but sort of in the pie theme, and not quite a pie, but it's an oatmeal cream pie. And my wife, Jean, who, you know, grew up in Danville, we walk in and Jean's like, I need the whole tray, you know, of oatmeal cream pies. And they're all looking at us and the kids are like, Mom, really? And the kids are stuffing this bag full of oatmeal cream pies. So I brought you one of those.
This is an oatmeal cream pie right here.
Oatmeal cream pie.
And it's like, it looks like a Little Debbie's.
It is, except it's probably about 100 times heavier in weight because it's just so substantial.
Oh, my God.
And creamy and delicious. Isn't that good?
Oh, man. That doesn't taste like anything I've ever had.
So that's a Danville.
Because the oatmeal part's real chewy.
It's like a chewy granola bar with sugar and
lots of sugar.
And butter.
And then a little bit more sugar and butter.
Oh, yeah.
And then a little, man, that's good.
So that's an oatmeal cream pie.
From the Midtown Market in Danville.
That's right.
Oh, and gosh, then, that's delicious.
And then on the way, so we're coming back on 29, and I'm like, you know, we need more pie. So, so we had to stop in Lynchburg. And at Lynchburg, the Montana Plains Bakery off of Rivermont Road, Boonesboro Shopping Center.
They're all famous?
They are famous. And I walked in there. They had three pies on the shelf, and I got the blackberry cobbler. And I said, now, assure me that this pie is 100% homemade. She's like, oh, yeah. And I said, well, she's like, why? I said, we're talking about it on the radio in Charlottesville tomorrow. And darned if the person in line behind me, also from Charlottesville.
No kidding.
Yep.
Really?
So the secret's getting out.
Down there to buy pie in Lynchburg.
They were buying pie in Lynchburg.
All right, I'm going to eat this. What again? What
am I
eating?
This is blackberry cobbler from Montana Plains Bakery in Lynchburg.
Mm.
The crust is 100%
homemade. Oh, that's totally homemade.
Yeah, and you can tell.
You can taste these big blackberries in there.
And that's the kind of pie you drive out of your way.
Gosh, good.
To get.
Oh, man. And I'm just going to lay on the floor and eat pie.
We have some here at the station, so people can in the station should be eating that right now.
Yeah, and, eat up, everybody.
And
enjoy. That's so delicious.
So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about good pies.
Something that is just a signature pie.
100%
homemade. 100%
homemade
signature pie that when you think of Charlottesville, you think of that pie.
And that's the quest we're on. And, of course, the listeners have helped us a lot. They've even brought in a pie for us to sample. You know,
That sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie from Old Virginia.
Fried chicken.
I can't even talk straight when I start thinking about it.
That was good.
But we're going to go to all these places, Crossroads Store, Chandler's Bakery, Foods of All Nations, Timberlakes, Wayside, Lumpkins in Scottsville, Fox's Cafe, Mission Home Bakery in Dyke. We're going to sample those pies and we're going to report back to you.
Brian, this is awesome.
This is the quest for pie.
I'm just sitting over eating pie. This is so good. All right, the quest for pie continues with good speed. And we're going to take a break and eat some pie. And when we get back, we will turn our attention to a little growth, a little development, and all good things like that. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You're listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, thanks to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. If you want to get involved with the show, feel free to comment on our blog at SevilPodcast.com.
You're wondering who I am.
Secret, I've got a secret.
Let's go to the phones. John's been waiting incredibly. John, you get the patient award there. How are you?
Hey, thanks. How you doing, Corey?
Very good. Very good. Happy Tuesday.
You too, sir. I've heard you've been eating a lot of pie.
Oh, man. Yeah, I just polished off my blackberry during the break. It, really good stuff. Good stuff.
All right, here's an idea.
Okay.
I'm going to throw an idea at you. People drop off the best homemade pie, and you do the tasting. You pick the pie. And they win free Richmond race tickets.
Free Richmond race tickets?
Yeah,
Where can we get Richmond Raceway tickets?
I don't know. I guess y'all can get them somewhere.
We have to look into that. Macon, you got any raceway tickets? You got any free ones in your pocket? Nope, not right now.
So, John, okay. John, who in your family makes good pie?
I make a good pie.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
What's your pie, John?
Chocolate pie.
Chocolate pie.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you the ingredients over the radio, but I guarantee you, when you taste it, it'll make you slap your mama.
Well, listen, Tuesday is pie here at WINA. So in the 5 o'clock hour, we just do pie. So feel free. Anybody wants to drop off a pie by the station here on Rose Hill Drive on Tuesdays around 5 o'clock, you do it. All righty. John, take care. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Corey.
All righty. You're a good man. Brian Wheeler is live in studio. The pie man. You get this whole pie thing started, Brian. This could be a tradition. You can look back 25 years and say, you remember when y'all started that pie thing?
Actually, it was my friend Cole Sandridge. And Cole said to me, Brian, I really like y'all's show, but you just don't talk about pie often enough.
Because we did a few months ago.
Last year we talked about pies up in Loudoun County. and he thought that was the best show ever. And so, Cole, you get the credit for bringing pies back.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when do you do this official pie quest? When do you start? When the weather warms up?
In the next month, we're going to wait for the leaves to get on the trees so we can get some good pictures of all these little crossroads country stores around Albemarle County. And then we're going to head off on our quest.
Yeah, yeah. Because when you get into a lot of these little country stores, you'll find, you know, a little Mama Leone or somebody is baking pies and just taking them up to the store on consignment and dropping them off. And otherwise, you probably would never hear about it because they're only there at that store. That's what you're looking for.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Mama Leone. So what's going on with growth and development in Central Virginia? It continues to grow. It continues to develop. The pie, so-called pie metaphor here, continues to rise.
Yeah. Speaking of pies, the city and county will both be finalizing their budget pies over the next week.
Very nice transition like there, Brian. Yes. Very nice.
So tomorrow, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors will be meeting in the afternoon, and they will set the tax rate for the county, and that will then determine the revenues that are available for Mr. Tucker and the county budget.
And what do you think it's going there? David Slutsky was in here yesterday. He said he's voting for 71 in the county.
I think the question will be, are there more than three votes, you know, for 71 cents? And we'll see. You know, they'll have a conversation about that tomorrow. And they may, you know, there may be more votes, a majority for 70 cents.
Yeah.
It'll probably be 70 or 71.
And 70 would sort of keep it, I'm still trying to understand, I get so confused. Right now it's at 68, but they were saying if it's at 70, it's basically still at the same level. Is that right? Because of the values?
Well, certainly at 68 cents, they didn't have to advertise, you know, what the effective increase would be because property assessments have been negative. Slightly negative, real estate property assessments. They're right in that neighborhood. Now, if you go to 71, maybe that's a slight increase, but it's still, you know, more or less level funding government.
Yeah, it's not like they're doing. David Slutsky was saying the Republicans put forward a raise at what, but in Loudoun, I think it was that just jumped up like, you know, 17, 19 cents or something in one fell swoop.
Now that, and of course, what I'm referring to is 68 cents, but then, you know, if you get above that, then you're giving a little bit more room for growth
for the
county budget.
Yeah.
But still, it's a small number, but they'll have that conversation. The city council is also, they had a public hearing last night on the budget, and they'll be finalizing that next week on the 15th. They'll be having a special meeting to finalize their tax rate.
Yeah. And David Slutsky was saying a good point that realistically our rate right now is at 58 cents because 10 cents of our rate, 10 cents of every dollar that we raise in the county actually goes to the city.
That's right. That's, of course, the historic revenue sharing agreement that Albemarle County cannot get out of. So it's the question is how can you best cooperate with the city on things like transportation, which, of course, David Slutsky has been a key player in, and he's been really pushing this regional transit authority and trying to get the city on board with that. He'd like to get the University of Virginia on board with that. Right now, they're on the sidelines watching. But revenue sharing is not going away. You're right. It is means 10 cents of the county tax rate goes to the city. And an interesting story.
And as the county continues to grow and develop and more money comes in, the money that goes to the city from the county is only going up. Right now it's at $12 million and change. It's going up to like $17 million pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's about $13.6 million today, and they go up to $17 million next year.
Wow, gosh.
There's a cap to it, but if property values go up in the county, then yes, it's going to keep going up.
What's the cap, do you know?
Well, it's a complicated formula that figures this out. But basically, we are at the cap every year. We're at the maximum amount. So it gets capped at that 10 cents.
But the cap is raised every year then.
Right.
Because it's a percentage.
That's right. It moves up.
Oh, man.
But, you know, we're looking at this last week. There's a story on our blog about Henrico County. And just real quick, Henrico taxpayers are accidentally paying the city of Richmond, their neighbor. Yes.
How is that?
So it's another form of revenue sharing, accidentally paying your neighbor next door. Well, you've got people who maybe they're leasing an apartment. They don't really even really think about where they live. They're leasing. They're there temporarily. Maybe they get the invoice from, you know, their car. Maybe they bought the car in Richmond and they have a Richmond mailing address, even though they live in Henrico.
Yeah, yeah.
So the fact that you have these overlapping zip codes and mailing addresses, and over 60% of the households I found out in Albemarle County have a Charlottesville mailing address.
I'm one of them.
So we started calling the Commissioner of Revenue in the city, and we called Robert Walters in the county and said, hey, does this happen here? And yes, it does.
People, so there are people who live in the county who are paying city taxes.
They're accidentally paying the city. Now, sometimes it's a...
But they don't get a bill from the city, do they?
They might, because DMV might be tracking the wrong locality for that car. So they could send a personal property. They could tell the city, hey, you have this car registered in your locality. So the city mails out personal property tax invoice.
But, oh, man.
Now, they keep a close eye on this, but Robert Walters in the county was telling us sales tax is another source of the problem. So you have multi-location retailers. So think like a grocery store or a home improvement center that has locations in both localities.
Right, right.
The home office may make a decision. Oh, that store is in Charlottesville, but really it's in Albemarle County. And so they tell Richmond, the Department of Taxation, hey, here's our taxes, sales taxes from Charlottesville. You know, give this 1% to the city of Charlottesville.
So what should people do? If you live in the county, you don't want to be paying those high city taxes.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you live, check quick. If you live in the county and you get a bill from the city, definitely ask some questions.
Yeah. Brian Wheeler joins us on Tuesday afternoons from Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And there was the big vote that Charlottesville City Council voted to keep a second mall crossing, which they sort of have been experimenting with.
That's right.
I've been in favor of both of them, just speaking for no one but myself. I never saw a problem with either one of them, but some people are against the idea of crossing the mall with a car.
They are. You know, it was set up as a pedestrian mall in 1976. And, you know, many years ago, we added that vehicular crossing when the movie theater was put in. Lee Danielson said that was going to be part of the deal if he was going to put in the theater and, you know, the ice parks down there. But he said, to build the theater, I need a place where people can drop off people who want to buy tickets.
Makes all the sense in the world.
And they put that in. You know, most people say that that's worked pretty well and has helped the flow of cars for people, you know, searching for parking and trying to get between the two garages. So,
and I think if you've been around here for any length of time, you can look back at the history of the mall and say that the mall really didn't take off until they built the ice park and the movie theater and that crossing, because then that's when it exploded, because it had been around for, you know, what, 15 years, 20 years until then, never really much happening down there. And then all of a sudden, boom, a lot of factors involved, of course, the economy and growth. But that really, really, I think, was a significant aspect to it.
Well, and it was development at the other end of the mall with the pavilion that really forced the creation of this second crossing. Because before the pavilion, there was another way to get around the end of the mall. The mall stopped, you know, right there at the Discovery Museum, because you could drive down in front of the post office.
You could park in front of City Hall.
And drop off your mail, run into City Hall.
I used to do it all the time.
Then you could sneak around below the CNO and get to Water Street.
Yeah.
When they built the pavilion, they had to close off that crossing. So the business community has been lobbying ever since, please return the second crossing of the mall, even though it wasn't really a crossing back then, but a second way to get down to Water Street. So that has been in place in a trial fashion at 4th Street. And now City Council voted 3-2 last night to make that permanent.
3-2. So that was a close vote.
Yeah.
It wasn't unanimous.
Mayor Dave Norris and Councilor Holly Edwards both voted against that.
Interesting. Did they say why?
I'm sure they did. And my colleague Sean Tubbs wrote the story. So if you go to our blog, you can look at that story. One of the other things that's interesting, though, is, and it really got people's attention, was when city staff were saying it's going to cost $1 million to have this crossing of the mall. And people were looking.
Did they make a face like I just made?
They did. They're like, "What do you mean? Cars are already crossing the mall. You know, why does it cost $1 million?" Well, it was part of that renovation that was being done of the side streets. So we've talked about on this program, they're going to renovate the mall itself. They're going to replace all the bricks, fix up the utilities, maybe put in fountains, maybe not.
Yeah, new trees.
Fix that up. Yeah, they have to start replacing the trees. But they were also looking at taking advantage of the side streets. So one of the side streets that was recently completed is by the Paramount Theater and the restaurant up there.
Is that done?
That is done now.
Oh, I bet it looks great.
It looks great.
They're sort of extending the bricks onto the side streets.
And so one of the ideas was at this mall crossing, you would extend the upgrades, so to speak, up the side streets.
Uh-huh.
You'd put the utilities underground. You'd have bigger, wider sidewalks that maybe would match that same brick theme that you see up around Court Square.
Yeah.
That, however, has been dropped. City Council gave them the feedback that, nope, we're going to do this on the cheap. Just, you know, spend as little money as possible to keep that crossing there. And Mr. Tolbert with Neighborhood Development Services said the focus of his work will be when they upgrade the mall itself, they're just going to try to make sure that people driving in their cars realize they are crossing something,
crossing
a pedestrian mall. So there'll be ways they can handle
it. Why wouldn't
they
just make it like the other crossing?
Well, they want to
fix that. Because that didn't have fancy side streets.
There's some concern about both crossings and pedestrians, even though there hasn't been an accident. They want to make it more visually apparent that, hey, you're crossing something. So whether that's a big speed hump, you know, that you sort of go up a little bit and then you go over the mall, but something like that to make
it waste of money.
More visible. Well, it's all in the
name. Come on.
they're trying to safely intermingle cars and people.
If it ain't broke. That thing has been working for 10 plus years, and now they're saying, well, it doesn't work.
Well, they have to replace
the
bricks anyway, Corey, because those weren't designed for cars.
That doesn't make any sense to me, though. I think it works great.
Well, basically what they're saying is if you're going to go in there and replace the bricks, put them in such a way that it makes it apparent to the driver they're crossing something.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a whole lot more money to accommodate that goal.
Yeah.
And that's the point of what we
– Maybe they'll hire somebody to stand there and stop the cars and say, prepare yourself. You are preparing to cross a mall, in case you didn't notice as
Maybe
you
so.
Drove your car across the mall.
The other thing they're going to do is take the one-way street that comes up from, Garrett Street to Water. There's a little railroad bridge you can go under at the Norcross building.
Yeah.
And right now it's one-way.
Yep. It's really thin in there.
And they're going to make that two-way again. I mean, one car at a time, but bidirectional.
So it's like wait and yield kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like on a regular one-lane bridge?
They'll put the stop signs back, I assume.
Oh, okay.
There were stop signs there for a while.
That would work.
So they're going to open that back up. And their concern is cut-through traffic, that if you're heading south, you're crossing the downtown mall, and you're on that 4th Street, and you're heading south, right now you can't cross over to Garrett and keep on going. And their concern is... Some residents are concerned that if you open that up to traffic going both ways, that people will then cut all the way across downtown, through the mall, cross Water Street to get to Garrett.
Some people probably would.
Yep.
Why not?
So they're going to keep an eye on that. But City Council gave direction last night to go ahead and put back the bidirectional flow.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SeaVilleTomorrow.org. What's this about land? We got just a few minutes because we're going to cut away to baseball. But
listeners who have heard us talk about land use taxation, that's a program that lowers the amount of real estate tax you have to pay in the county if you own rural land or land that's used for forest or open space.
And this
like
is the
that.
Thing the developers love because they can buy land and put it in land use until they're ready to develop
and
end up paying like less taxes.
Well, land use does apply in the growth area as well. And right now, taxpayers are avoiding paying about $13 million in property taxes. So we pay as much to the city of Charlottesville from the county as taxpayers are getting in land use tax subsidy.
Interesting.
So it's a big chunk of money. And the question is, in front of the Board of Supervisors, how effective is it? Is it effective at keeping land rural and undeveloped? Because you're saying to farmers, hey, we're going to help you afford to own this land that's very valuable for houses, but we don't want you to put houses on it.
Yeah.
We want you to keep growing your crops or harvesting your trees or cutting your hay, whatever. So they give them a deal on the taxes. But the question is that becoming such a big piece of the county budget pie that's missing? You know, they're not getting this tax revenue.
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
I think there should be two different classes. One truly for a family that wants to keep the land rural and one for a developer who clearly is speculating and is buying the land and is letting it sort of cook and let the economy cook it until it's ready to develop. And then all of a sudden they pull it out of land use and they next thing you know, it's got a shopping center on it.
You know, unfortunately,
different classes there.
The state wouldn't let us do that, Coy. And the state puts a limit right now on how many years you can roll back the taxes. So if you have land in land use and you decide, okay, now I'm ready to develop it and put in a housing development, you only pay, I think, 5 years of back taxes. You know, a better solution might be to go back even further, really set up a penalty for doing that.
Yeah.
So that's one option.
Because you've defeated the whole purpose of why that tax credit
is
there. It's to keep... You don't have to pay as much taxes because you're going to keep the land rural.
But right now, the state would prohibit us from doing that. It also prohibits us from treating land in the growth area differently from that in the rural area. But you know, one of the ideas that's also out there, Coy, is what if you had a farmer who said, "I'll put a conservation easement on my property so it can never be developed," and then only give those people with easements the tax break. And so that's one of the ideas that's being floated out there. But the Board of Supervisors is going to have a work session to talk about this tomorrow. And as an example of what the public can do, a resident out at Glenmore spoke about this at a public hearing in response to Supervisor Ken Boyd bringing it up. And certainly Sally Thomas has brought this up over the years, that they need to have a committee looking at land use. But this one taxpayer got up at a public hearing and he said, "Hey, I really think you all need to focus on this, focus on it now." And they're doing it. So they're going to talk about it tomorrow.
Good. Interesting. Really quick before we go, there's a new business park coming to town?
Yeah, this is interesting. It's called the Berkmar Business Park.
Berkmar.
This was in front of...
I remember when that road was open. I remember when they cut the ribbon.
Yeah. On the... Well, which part of it?
The Berkmar Drive that goes over to the Sam's Club.
Okay.
Back behind the Walmart.
Yeah, because there's that other part over by, you know, Starbucks cutting off 29... You know, that's Berkmar Drive, too.
What?
Yeah. So if you're...
Yeah. That goes all the way back down to...
It connects back up to that.
Down by the fire station and...
yeah, that's all Berkmar.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the new Berkmar that goes back behind
Walmart. Of course, the county wants to extend that even further across the river
all
the
way bridge and,
to Hollymead Town Center.
Yeah.
But along that stretch that you're talking about is a proposal for the Berkmar Business Park. So if you know where Planet Fun is...
used to be.
The old Planet Fun...
Which is the batting cage and the go-karts and the putt-putt up there across from the SBCA.
Which is up behind Lowe's, and it's also this land is up behind Kegler's.
Uh-huh.
So imagine a development along Berkmar Drive, but that the county would like to have a connector road from that would connect Berkmar to 29 so that you could more easily get into this development.
Where would it come up, like next to Kegler's?
It would go directly in between Shule's Furniture and Better Living.
Uh-huh.
There's a light right there right now.
Ah, so you'd be able to go right there and go up to Berkmar.
That's right.
That'd be cool.
That's not what the developer wants to do. And granted, they don't own all of that land, and that's part of the problem. And there's also some road frontage issues there for the businesses. Better Living and Shule's both benefit from sort of a little side road. You can pull in at that light, but then navigate your way over to Better Living and not have to go down to the Walmart and do a U-turn.
And they both have huge land behind them that they use.
Well, they do. Better Living in particular. Shule's does not. Behind Shule's is part of this property that we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. So that's going to be a business park and possibly a new road.
And maybe even residential. And part of the concern of the planning
commission... Really? Is there that much land back there?
Well, yes.
That's all those woods, right? It's all woods. Most of it's woods now.
Most of it's woods right now. The Planning Commission recommended denial by a 6-1 vote. So this will be going to the Board of Supervisors. It's almost 6 acres of land, but the developer is looking at both offices and potentially residential. But one of the concerns of the Planning Commission was that the plan was not real clear. The traffic study recommendations were that there be a connector road. Then the developer came in with another traffic study that the staff hadn't seen yet. So there was a lot of controversy.
So they're still talking about it.
They're still talking about it. This will be in front of the Board of Supervisors. We will certainly track it. That's coming up May 7th, 2008.
You really called that sports complex on Pantoffs. I mean, you called that. You said they're going to kill this. This is just not too much and run the wrong place. And that's exactly what they thought.
It was so outside of the goals of the comprehensive plan for the county that it just wasn't a good fit. And that was pretty clear. The developer was not too happy about that.
And, really?
And there's the stretch of highway commercial land that he owns that he may try to squeeze in a smaller complex, but he certainly can't get the big complex he was looking at.
Yeah. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. It's online at seavilletomorrow.org. And this is the big week, of course. They're going to finalize the budgets and the tax rates. We'll be talking about that in detail next week. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.